Welcome to the CEN Show, where we present the voice of the community. This is the first show of our second year and looking to have many great guests to learn from. This show and Conscious Corner are products of the CommunityEducationNetwork.com. And right now I want to show everybody the website because I want to encourage people to get to the form. So let me share the screen here. Let me get it here. Okay. Here we go. So when you go to the website, you go to the form here. And then if you haven't signed up, you can sign up right here with the email address. So all you need is an email address and you hit sign up and then you can sign up. I want to encourage people to take this form and express themselves, and we could dialogue about many different subjects, things of concern. So I want to encourage everybody to join the CEN form. So when you're have some spare time, you can go there and write some of your concerns and start a dialogue. All right. So tonight's guest is Manai Moore. She's a junior in college, and we have 15 questions for her from the community. Manai is my fourth daughter out of five who graduated fourth in her senior class. And so far, she's doing excellent in college. And I'm your host, Rasaki Maskani, and the proud father. Good evening, Manai. How are you? And what do you want to tell us about yourself?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, as you know.
Well, like you said, I'm a college student, junior year. I'm 20 years old. And my major is political science, but I don't want to go into that field. I want to go into nursing. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the questions. And this is from a buddy of mine that's been on the show. This brother Ronnie. He says, how has COVID affected your studies and college life in general?
Well, for my studies, it was difficult at first to motivate myself to watch lectures online and study by myself because I really wasn't used to online school. I was always used to in person. And I didn't feel like it was actually school still, since I was just basically in my room by myself doing everything. And, also it was difficult because I'm doing things at home, and I think of home as my happy place and like place away from school and the world and all that. So bringing school into my home where I'm supposed to be relaxing and enjoying myself, it was kind of hard for me to do that, but I had to do it for like over a year, so I eventually got used to it. And as far as my life in general, it kind of cut my first college year experience short, which I was looking forward to for so long. That aspect when it comes to studies and all that, but like day-to-day interaction, I think most people keep to themselves most of the time, but in things like clubs and other student organizations, I think they're pretty welcoming in those aspects too.
Okay. This one is from a cousin of our, cousin Gary. He said, do you investigate what other students think is cool to do when you're questioning their actions or ethics?
I don't really investigate what other people think is cool and all that. Like, yeah, I don't really do that.
Okay. So you kind of keep to yourself and mind your own business, right?
Yes, for the most part. If it's not, yeah, like if it's not harming me or other people, I don't really particularly care what people do. If it's not bothering anyone.
Okay. So Professor Rye's kind of looking a little tired there, so I'm going to go to him first. Professor Rye, any questions?
I ain't never been tired in my life. All right. First of all, Mana, I want to congratulate you on your achievements as going to a UC campus. UC campuses are...
thank you.
You know, they're the top, you know, UCLA, UC Santa Barbara, UC Davis, UC Irvine, UC Riverside, and it's only about 9 or 10 campuses, and they go all the way up to the PhD. Most of their focus is on research, and most of their teaching structure is they have a lot of teacher assistants that be in their classes versus the professor. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yes. The TA pretty much, the professors just lecture and the TA pretty much do everything else.
Yeah, and sometimes they run the class because the professor generally is doing his research, or he used that as an excuse to do research. But let me get to a couple other points. You said something very unique. UC Davis was the center of a lot of racial issues with the Bakke case. And many white students think that every time they see a black student on campus, their EOP, Educational Opportunity Program, are specially admitted. Do you get that type of a feeling about them and the faculty ever say, well, you need to drop my class because maybe you're not ready for it, you need some prerequisites or anything like that? How's your experience from a black woman position or a black student position on campus as far as how you feel with regards to the treatment of you as an accomplished person, you know, a person that deserved to be there?
Yes. Well, I really...
got that echo again.
Haven't gotten that from professors, like looking down on me or in many others. Like, it would be kind of hard for them to single me out like that because it's a lot of students that go there. And even though there's barely any black people, like...
Manaj.
Yeah.
Can you start over because the it was echoing and slowing down the response. So can you start from the beginning?
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I was just saying I really haven't gotten that feeling like I was being looked down on by professors or other students. I haven't experienced that yet. And I think it's mostly probably because there's a lot of other students in the classes. Like, the classes are really big. I've had some classes that were 500 people, so I feel like it'll be kind of hard for a professor to even try to single me out like that. And I really haven't had any like racist or anything like that experiences in general. Like, there was one time I was with my friend and we were in a van. And an Asian guy, he didn't want to sit by us. But that's pretty much it. Like, I don't feel like I've been look mm-hmm. down on or anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. What about, you know, you're a junior. Have you met yes. all your requirements, your general ed requirements going into your senior year yet? I know you did some upper division some people take late.
Yeah, I only have one more class for my general education to complete.
Is that a writing English class, 300 or something?
Yes, it's that's an upper division writing requirement.
Yeah, okay. Now, the other thing is that, is there a BSU on campus, Black Student
Union? Yes.
Are you active in it? Are you participating in it?
Yes, I have. I did a lot in my first year and second year, but this year I haven't really been to any meetings, but I plan to go. Next quarter.
Okay, now, you said you was going to, have you switched your major yet?
They don't have a nursing major at my school, so I'm just going to continue the political science classes and take science classes that I need for nursing school while I'm doing that.
Have you researched the requirements to be, you're going to be a registered nurse?
Yes.
Because I think they're phasing LVNs out. At one time, they were talking about it. But getting back to the registered nurse, there's so many prerequisites. Where were you going to go, to a professional school or another university that does have a program?
Well, I'm doing some of them at my school now because they do have the prerequisites I need, like the science classes. So I'm doing some of that now, and I plan to do whatever I can't do here at the community college.
So, I mean, because they separated physiology. It used to be something else.
Yeah.
And they made it too far. And then you got to, you know, I mean, nursing is, that is a tough major. And then you got to take the state exam. So it's not about completing classes. It's also being prepared to take the state exam once you finish.
Professor Rock, know.
Yeah.
Some reason she went out, so she might have. She's coming back now. Okay.
Manai, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, I got dropped out.
I was saying nursing is a very tough major. A lot of prerequisites, a lot of, challenges with regards to just getting in a nursing program, like another. Are you on? Let me see. So you plan on graduating with your BS?
I wanted to stay in California, really, and I don't think there's any out here.
Correct. There's no.
Yeah, for H.
That's true.
Yeah.
I kind of heard you in your initial. Answering questions about you going to college and, hoping to get a job so you could take care of yourself. And as an educator who got caught up into the hype of every Black parent telling their child to go to college to get a job, you know, I realized as an educator that advice was against that mindset of going to college to get a job is contrary and adverse to the Black people doing for self, to Black people doing the thing that other people of other cultures do. You know, other cultures, those who have Chinatown, Italian town, Greek town, they go to college to open up a business or to qualify to open up a business. They have a different mindset. Instead of going to college specifically to get a job, they go into college kind of like make a job, make a business, or work a business long enough, you know, a job long enough to open up their own business because they know the science of success, the science of true, independence and the science of business and wealth accumulation. You know, we as Black people, we go to college with the mindset of going to get a job. And we also go with the mindset that the person that we get the job from is a Caucasian that don't look anything like us. For example, you know, if you were to pursue political science, you know, and you decide to, you know, work for a politician or work in that arena, evidently you're working for the government. You know, you're working for maybe a politician who doesn't have the interests of Black people in their mind, but, you know, you're working for the system. Now you're going into nursing. And because Black people don't have their own hospitals or our own, you know, medical centers in our communities, evidently you're going to be working for a Caucasian hospital as well, Caucasian bosses, Caucasian administration. So how do you feel? Like, what I'm saying is, and that even this is for Rasaki being your father, it's for have you been taught, educated, or have you been even thinking about like what can you do to change the non-productive paradigm that we've been doing in America in terms of going to college so we could get a job working for somebody who traditionally really doesn't want to pay us what we're worth. They'd rather have our labor for free, or they create an environment where we're a subjugate. We never go up to the highest point where we're able to go where our knowledge, skills, and experience take us. There's always a glass ceiling that prevents us as Black people from crossing. I mean, have you ever been educated, or are you taking this in consideration at all when it comes to your goals and aspirations? Is there any part of what you want to do that has to do with you doing for self? You know, you open up your own medical center, you servicing your own people on your own, you know, so where you're offering services and reaping benefits and maybe open up your own type of medical services or business or something for your people, whether it's a doula, you know, helping, you know, women get, you know, go the natural way of having childbirth without having to go to the hospital, or something that says independent, something that says, you know, I'm not going to be spending the rest of my life working for a person and a system that has always had something against, that always has had, continues to have, and, you know, to brutalize, mistreat, underpay, underrepresent, last one hired, first one fired mentality. I mean, what do you think about anything that I'm saying as it relates to you being a future, the next generation, to either repeat the cycle of having to work for these people to where they have our lives in their hands. They can tell us to do anything out of the threat of us getting fired and we'll do it. They can threaten, they can tell us to do anything. They can threaten, you know, if you don't do this, you don't have, because we're relying upon them for our very livelihood. What, you know, as a next generation sister, you know, professional leader, mother, community leader, business person or whatnot. I mean, what is some of those ideas that mean to you as it pertains to being independent, self-sufficient, owning your own business where you don't have to answer to a boss that can hire you, fire you, a job, because a job's not inherited. You can't pass a job to your children. Your children cannot, you know, my child cannot inherit my teaching position. But that's why I work to accumulate resources and assets that my child can benefit from. How does that affect you in terms, how do you feel about that in terms of what your goals and aspirations are, so that you won't be working for somebody else for the rest of your life, but maybe have something tangible that you could actually leave the next generation, you know, as it pertains to what your goals are professionally and scholastically?
Well, to be honest, I really, if I had it my way, I wouldn't work at all. Like, labor is not something that I dream about, but it's something that I have to do. So I kind of have that mindset. And being an entrepreneur, I think that's great for a person that is passionate about working and doing those things. But for me, that wouldn't be good, because that would become my whole life. Like, once you own a business, that's really your life. Like, it's always on your mind. You always, that's just not something I want to do. And I do care about my community. I do want us to do better. But I feel like owning a business, that wouldn't be a way that I could contribute to that. Like, I do, when I become a nurse, I do want to work somewhere in the community and make sure my people are giving the getting the best care that I could give them, that I could help with. But yeah, that's all I think I pretty much can do when it comes to working and things like that.
Okay, so you wanted me to talk about this a little bit too, right?
Yes, I did. I did.
Well, see, what I can say about it is, I've been teaching for 26 years, okay, yes, and sir. I've been exposed to Black studies education through Cal State Long Beach, like yourself. And then I have a mentor professor here, Professor Ra, which implanted me with information that I wouldn't get otherwise if I didn't have Black studies, you know. So now what I'm doing here with you guys is establishing a network that will lead us in the directions that you're talking about, of independence. You know, I actually see it, and this is the way I see it. We're living in a colored context, which is systematic. You know, it's a system that's driving all the inequities, the negativity, the mistreatment, all of that. So I'm a part of a change agent to go in the direction of independence, like the Nation of Islam suggests. I agree with that, you know, but we have a battle on our hands, and I realize that. So this is why I'm doing what I'm doing with you guys. I've raised them with my wife. You know, my wife is pretty liberal, you know. And so we're not in sync when it comes to Black independence, but she understands. And Manai is really a sharp individual, very intelligent. So I think she's picking up the information. And I'm glad she agreed to do the show, because she's been exposed to people like yourself, Brother Thomas. And you know, and it makes her think. So I think that she'll make a great contribution to society and Black folks, since we live in a colored context. So, okay, I'm gonna leave that there. I'm gonna go to Brother Mashinda.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Brother Mashinda, question, comment?
Yeah, good evening. Manai, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to commend you on your effort. You know, I remember when you started college, and you know, I remember when you used to be in high school. You might not know it, but you know, talking to your dad, you know, over the years, you know, him picking you up, dropping you off, all that through high school, you know. So I'd like to commend, you know, you, Rasa Key, for, you know, and your wife for a job well done, you know, and, you know, knowing what went into, you know, and I know it's still a work in progress, but, you know, what has gone into it, you know, as far as the time and the effort, the work, the hard work, you know, the dedication, you know, you know, the formula that create what, you know, part of the formula that creates success, you know, And so I'm watching it play out, you know, and it's a great thing. Manai, you know, hey, I work in education now, you know, just and I'm working at a college, at a community college, and we have a licensed practical nurse, which is like a LVN, you know, it's very similar. It's the same thing where they just call it LPN here. And well, I'm in here in Louisiana, but anyway, it's a wide open area that needs a lot of good people, you know. You know, as far as your education, you know, going, yeah, a lot of times when, you know, you try to get into these programs, they're impacted, meaning that, you know, there's a waiting list a lot of times to get into these, the RN programs at the university level all over the country. But what I'm hearing is you have good grades, you know, you've been applying yourself and you've been, preparing, been doing your research. I would say, hey, you know, you know, with your foundation that you received when you're in high school and parlay that into college, you know, you won't be stopped, you know, once you get your turn, you know. So when you apply, like you say, like, doc, you know, you have to do your research. Dr. Rye was pointing it out. You know, it is a very challenging, but at the same time will be very rewarding for you if that's what you want to do. You know, and you get, you know, I think you got to be a special person to want to go into that field. You know, money is great, you know, but I always, you know, I'm a firm believer that always enjoy what you're doing. You know, I mean, this, everybody want to get paid, but I think that you should, you know, make, you know, if that's what you want to do, you know, hey, go for it. But I'm just saying, moving on, though, you have the foundation. You know, my wife, she went that route, university route, nursing, and went all the way nurse practitioner, got her doctorate, nurse practitioner. Hey, she grew up across the tracks, just like me. You know, we, you know, she's no different than any of us, you know. And, but I was there when I met her, she was already an RN. And, you know, she said, well, I think I'm going to go back to school, and went back and got her master's. And then, you know, and then went and got her nurse practitioner degree. And then got her doctorate in nurse practitioner. So I said all that to say, I mean, they're still nurses, you know. I mean, you know, I mean, they call her doctor and all that, but I mean, you know, there's a difference. But at the same time, as far as educational route goes, but you know, she's seeing patients just like the doctor see patients, you know, and she's very well respected. And now, as it comes to our community, oh wow. I mean, she helps the community. I mean, the Black people flock to her. They want to see her. They want to, you know, and so she practices in different clinics. She doesn't own the clinics, Brother Thomas, you know, and her reason is because she can open up her own practice. They have a what they call a collaborative agreement with a doctor. And, you know, I think the state of California might have got rid of it here in Louisiana. It's been before the legislature and it hadn't passed yet. Mississippi's right next door, meaning that you can practice without a doctor, you know, being on your payroll, so to speak, you know. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of opportunity out there for you, Manai, in that field to where you can work independently. My wife works independently, although she goes to a clinic. She sees patients, you know. As far as any bosses, ain't nobody bossing nobody around. They got administrators, but, you know, there's always somebody in charge. And, you know, you got a president in charge of the country, you know. So it's not, you're not going to escape, you know, the hierarchy. But, you know, one of her reasons why, she can go open up her own practice if she wants to. But, you know, that malpractice insurance is very high. And she does very well income wise. And, you know, we're not, you know, we're not going to get rich off any of these jobs, but you, it's not, well, it's what you make, but it's not always what you make, is what you invest in, how you, you know, use your money wisely, save your money and those type of things. So I hope that you're also educating yourself on the economic side, about budgeting, about investing. You know, it's never too early to start a 401k or IRA and that type of thing, you know. So I can go on and on, but I just want to commend you for and being, and I want to thank you for being so candid, you know, your answers, well thought out answers, you know, and the sky's the limit. So thank you for coming on tonight, Manai.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Brother Hembrick popped in, but I'm going to get to Brother Hembrick after the next five questions. So I'm going to go to number six. This is from a cousin of yours, Cousin Chris. He said, what have you learned about yourself in the last 3 years? And if you didn't attend college, what would you have done?
Well, one thing I learned is that I enjoy being alone a lot, and I need to be alone sometimes to recharge and just reflect on life. I also learned that I don't like cooking, and cooking for myself every day is difficult. The second part of it
says, what you have done if you didn't go to college? What would you have done?
I think I would have been a paramedic or a firefighter. I would have done that.
Okay. Let me inform everybody about Manai's athletic ability. She was one of the best breaststroke swimmers in the county when she was about 13 years old. And if she would have stayed at it, I think she probably would have at least went to Junior Olympics. A very excellent athlete. And she's been a lifeguard, you know, for about 2 years in a row before the pandemic. And she was a swim coach. And so, yeah, she's not only mentally gifted, but she's a great athlete, too. Okay, next question. This is from Sister J. Dub. She said, what does self-care look like for you?
Being alone in my bed or somewhere else comfortable with good food and a TV show or music or a book.
Okay. All right. This is from a teammate of mine from Washington State. He said, what is your thoughts about CTR, critical race theory, or CRT, critical race theory?
Well, I don't know much about it itself. I just know that was a lot of upheaval with white people about it. But from what I do know, I think it should be taught in schools. I definitely think it should be taught.
I agree. The truth should be taught, and it deals with the truth. So I agree with you. Okay, this is from a colleague of mine that teach with me. He said, how did your father being a math teacher help you in dealing with college coursework?
I've actually had only one math class so far, and that was statistics. And my dad doesn't really do that. He does algebra and trig. So it hasn't really helped me in college. It helped me a lot in high school, though.
Okay. Okay, this is from one of our recent guests, Ernest. He says, what are your thoughts about sororities? How do you feel about sororities?
I think they're good for people who need a community. Well, everybody needs a community, but people who like seek that. And I think they're good for making connections and that kind of stuff. I'm not really interested in that, but I do think they're something positive about college, especially the Black sororities, like the Deltas and the AKAs.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to Brother Hembrick. Brother Hembrick, question or comment?
Sorry, tuned in late. Actually, I'm my daughter's here visiting now. I just got here last night, so we've been hanging out at the garden and came in here and dozed off and woke up, and I looked and my computer was dead, so I had to plug it up. But anyway, I hear, you know, although I didn't, you know, hear a presentation a lot, but I do hear similar, you know, stuff, you know, but, you know, that you're experiencing, you know, with your daughter that I'm experiencing with mine. They both appear to be in the medical field, which is, you know, great. There will always be work for sure, especially in these days and times. I like what you said about the sorority thing. So they come to the realization that it's African. I'm not with it. My daughter's not with it either, although she participated in this debutante thing from her mother, kept bugging her about it with the AKA. I live next door to a big time Delta. So some of my friends are Q-Dogs and all of that. It was good. I just wish they would change their identification from Greek to African, who the Greeks stole it from them. Let me just say this, sister. I heard you say you didn't like to cook, but when you cook, you just got to cook a lot that'll last for a few days. You know, every day. You know, I remember my mom used to cook stuff and then give me stuff to freeze, put it in containers, and I would freeze it, so I always have something to eat. You know, but
yeah.
I would say that try to learn a little something now. You can't go through life. You know, men like to eat. Unless you get one that, you know, that's it. He can cook, you know, because Rose. I know I can cook, so, you know, I can do it, and I do it from time to time. Anyway, I want to wish you, you know, great success in your your endeavor in the field of medicine. It's always noble when you're in service, and that's serving people, serving the public. I was talking to my daughter today about, I was reading an article about the role of cannabis is going to play in the medical field. I already know some positive things that they have with it, like dealing with, you know, cancer surgery and asthma and glaucoma and these sort of things. And my daughter is studying osteopathic medicine. That's what she's gonna be a doctor in, sort of like holistic medicine. And that goes hand in hand. So I was suggesting to her that, you know, she look into that. Although they do deal with some herbs and stuff. But anyway, great profession. You can go anywhere in the world and work. That's what I like about it. You know, you're not stuck to a certain region. Medicine is everywhere. And like I said, you know, much success to you. Work hard, keep your nose to the grind and get it done. And you have a great life on the profession that you chose.
Thank you.
Great.
Very well. I appreciate it.
Okay, that was, I want to reiterate what Brother Emmerich said. He said, cook you know, large amounts, like you could do a pot of chili. Pot of chili will last you all week. You could, you know, chili and rice, chili Fritos, chili burritos. So yeah, that was a good suggestion. So you need to take that under advisement, I would say. Okay, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go ahead and do these last five questions. Then I go around the panel one more time, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, this is from our next door neighbor, Brother James. He said, are you familiar with the Pan-African Studies Department, and is there a gospel choir on your campus?
I am familiar with the Pan-African Studies Department. I took an African-American Studies class, and I really enjoyed it. It was probably one of the most interesting classes I've taken at that school. The gospel choir, I really don't know. I'm not religious, so I don't really look into that.
Oh, so if you're not religious, what are you?
Spiritual.
Okay, spoken like a true daughter of mine. Okay, here we go. This is from a teammate, another teammate of mine, but this teammate is from Long Beach State. He said, when it comes to world leaders, who do you trust and why?
Well, from the world leaders I'm familiar with, like if you're talking about presidents or those people, I wouldn't say that I trust any of them. I think a lot of things happen that people don't know about, and I wouldn't really put my trust in any of them.
Okay, I know you've been hanging around somebody like me that says things like that. Okay. This is from another Long Beach State graduate, Miss Kelly. She said, what is the one thing you was looking forward to when you considered furthering your education, and have you been able to see or experience that one thing you was looking forward to when you started school?
I was looking forward to the most learning about things that I actually wanted to learn about, rather than in high school and middle school where you're kind of forced to learn things because of standards and all that. But yeah, it's just learning what I actually wanted to learn about, like African American studies and just different things. And yes, I have been able to do that. And I also was looking forward to studying abroad. And I just applied.
Welcome to the CEN show, where we present the voice of the community. This is the first show of our second year and looking to have many great guests to learn from. This show and Conscious Corner are products of the CommunityEducationNetwork.com. And right now I want to show everybody the website, because I want to encourage people to get to the form. So let me share the screen here. Let me get it here. Okay. Here we go. So when you go to the website, you go to the form here, and then if you haven't signed up, you can sign up right here with an email address. So all you need is an email address, and you hit sign up, and then you can sign up. I want to encourage people to take this form and express themselves, and we could dialogue about many different subjects, things of concern. So I want to encourage everybody to join the CEM form. So when you're, you know, have some spare time, you can go there and write some of your concerns and start a dialogue. All right. So tonight's guest is Manai Moore. She's a junior in college, and we have 15 questions for her from the community. Manai is my fourth daughter out of five, who graduated fourth in her senior class. And so far, she's doing excellent in college. And I'm your host, Rasaki Mascani, and the proud father. Good evening, Manai. How are you? And what do you want to tell us about yourself?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, as you know.
Well, like you said, I'm a college student, junior year. I'm 20 years old. And my major is political science, but I don't want to go into that field. I want to go into nursing. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the questions. And this is from a buddy of mine that's been on the show. This brother Ronnie. He says, how has COVID affected your studies and college life in general?
Well, for my studies, it was difficult at first to motivate myself to watch lectures online and study by myself because I really wasn't used to online school. I was always used to in person. And I didn't feel like it was actually school still, since I was just basically in my room by myself doing everything. And also it was difficult because I'm doing things at home, and I think of home as my happy place and like place away from school and the world and all that. So bringing school into my home where I'm supposed to be relaxing and enjoying myself, you know, it was kind of hard for me to do that. But I had to do it for like over a year, so I eventually got used to it. And as far as my life in general, it kind of cut my first college year experience short, which I was looking forward to for so long, like being on campus and being away from home. It kind of cut that short. So it was kind of disappointing with that. And it also, like COVID in general, it also makes me paranoid around groups of people. Like if somebody coughs by me, I get like a little scared. So yeah, that's how it affected my studies and my life.
Okay. And that also, another colleague of mine, Mr. Bass, she also asked that question too. So two people asked that question. Okay. This is from Brother Barry. I know him from Long Beach State. Professor Rod knows him real well. He said, what is your experience with college campus life?
Well, the first year of school before COVID happened, it was really a good experience for me. I feel like the campus is really big and nice, and it's also far from here. It's like 6 hours away from here by car. So it was a new environment. And it's like a college town. The town Davis is really small. I go to UC Davis, and it's in a city called Davis. It's really small. Like everything is based around the college. So that was different for me coming from a big city like LA. And it was also fun for me to be on my own for the first time in life, being able to do whatever I wanted to. And now that COVID happened, it's kind of the same, just different because we have to wear masks. Everybody has to wear masks. So we don't really know how each other looks. Like, I don't know how most of my professors look without the mask, unless I've seen them on Zoom or something. So that's different. But other than that, I still enjoy being on campus.
Okay. Okay, this question is from Dr. Brutus. He's been on the show before. He said, what force is driving you to excellence despite being surrounded by mediocrity amongst your peers? So basically, I'm thinking that you may be thinking from high school, because I don't think too many students at Davis is mediocre. But what is your driving force for excellence?
Well, now it's so I can get a good job to be able to provide for myself when I do graduate. That's what motivates me. It's going, like you said, a lot of people at UC Davis aren't mediocre. Like, there's even people more studious and passionate about school and other things than me. So they actually, like, push me as well. Seeing other people working hard and studying all the time, that pushes me too.
Okay, good. All right. This is from Dr. Strong, actual team member of the website and podcast. She says, how welcoming are other students at your school?
I think for the most part, they're welcoming, like, especially in class. Everyone tries to work together in some type of way so we're all able to succeed in the class. Like, if I miss class and I ask somebody for notes, even if they don't know me or I never talked to them before, they'll still give me their notes. So I think they're welcoming in that aspect when it comes to studies and all that. But, like, day-to-day interaction, I think most people keep to themselves most of the time, but in things like clubs and other student organizations, I think they're pretty welcoming in those aspects too.
Okay. This one is from a cousin of our, cousin Gary. He said, do you investigate what other students think is cool to do when you're questioning their actions or ethics?
I don't really investigate what other people think is cool and all that. Like, yeah, I don't really do that.
Okay. So you kind of keep to yourself and mind your own business, right?
Yes, for the most part. If it's not, yeah, like, if it's not harming me or other people, I don't really particularly care what people do. If it's not bothering anyone.
Okay. So Professor Ra is kind of looking a little tired there. So I'm going to go to him first. Professor Ra,
I ain't never been tired in my life. All right. First of all, Manai, I want to congratulate you on your achievements as going to a UC campus. UC campuses are...
thank you.
You know, they're the top, you know, UCLA, UC Santa Barbara, UC Davis, UC Irvine, UC Riverside. And it's only about 9 or 10 campuses, and they go all the way up to the PhD. Most of their focus is on research, and most of their teaching structure is they have a lot of teacher assistants that be in their classes versus the professor. Yeah. Is that correct?
Yes, the TA pretty much. The professors just lecture and the TA pretty much do everything else.
Yeah, and sometimes they run the class because the professor generally is doing his research, or he used that as an excuse to do research. But let me get to a couple other points. You said something very unique. UC Davis was the center of a lot of racial issues with the Bakke case. And many white students think that every time they see a black student on campus, their EOP, Educational Opportunity Program, are specially admitted. Do you get that type of a feeling about them and the faculty ever say, well, you need to drop my class because maybe you're not ready for it, you need some prerequisites or anything like that? How's your experience from a black woman position or a black student position on campus as far as how you feel with regards to the treatment of you as an accomplished person? You know, a person that deserved to be there.
Yes. Well, I really
got the echo again.
Haven't gotten that from professors looking down on me or in many others. Like, it would be kind of hard for them to single me out like that because it's a lot of students that go there. And even though there's barely any black people, like...
Manaj.
Yeah.
Can you start over because the it was echoing and slowing down the response. So can you start from the beginning?
Oh. Okay. Well, yes, I was just saying, I really haven't gotten that feeling like I was being looked down on by professors or other students. I haven't experienced that yet. And I think it's mostly probably because there's a lot of other students in the classes. Like, the classes are really big. I've had some classes that were 500 people. So I feel like it'll be kind of hard for a professor to even try to single me out like that. And I really haven't had any like racist or anything like that experiences in general. Like, there was one time I was with my friend and we were in a van and a Asian guy, he didn't want to sit by us, but that's pretty much it. Like, I don't feel like I've been look down on or anything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. What about, you're a junior. Have you met all your requirements, your general ed requirements going into your senior year yet? I know you did some upper division some people take late.
Yeah, I only have one more class for my general education to complete.
Is that a writing English class, 300 or something?
Yes, that's an upper division writing requirement.
Yeah, okay. Now, the other thing is that is there a BSU on campus, Black Student
Union? Yes.
Are you active in it? Are you participating in it?
Yes, I have. I did a lot in my first year and second year, but this year I haven't really been to any meetings, but I plan to go. Next quarter.
Okay, now, you said you was going to... Have you switched your major yet?
They don't have a nursing major at my school, so I'm just going to continue the political science classes and take science classes that I need for nursing school while I'm doing that.
Have you researched the requirements to be... you're going to be a registered nurse.
Yes.
Because I think they're phasing LVNs out. At one time, they were talking about it. But getting back to the registered nurse, there's so many prerequisites. Where were you going to go, to a professional school or another university that does have a program?
Well, I'm doing some of them at my school now because they do have the prerequisites. I need like the science classes. So I'm doing some of that now, and I plan to do whatever I can't do here at the community college.
So, I mean, because they separated physiology. It used to be something else.
Yeah.
And they made it too far. And then you got to, you know, I mean nursing is, whoo, that is a tough major. And then you got to take the state exam. So it's not about completing classes. It's also being prepared to take the state exam once you finish.
Professor Rock, you know?
Yeah.
Some reason she went out, so she might have, she's coming back now. Okay.
Manai, are you there?
Yeah, sorry, I got dropped out.
I was saying nursing is a very tough major. A lot of prerequisites, a lot of, challenges with regards to just getting in a nursing program, like another, are you on, let me see. So you plan on graduating with your BA in political science?
Yes.
Okay, now with that BA, I mean, that doesn't qualify you to go for a master's in nursing. You have to get the BA in nursing in order to go to get the master's, right?
Yes, I think so.
And are they preparing you for the state exam? I mean, you know that's what that requirement is. The state exam once you complete all your nursing classes.
Okay, so you have to do that. You have to have a bachelor's in nursing before a master's.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the state exam for to be a nurse. I mean, that's a challenge right there.
Oof. Yeah. But hey,
you're in the right field. A nurse is like a doctor now, and they're making six figures. Easy, and some making more because of COVID. So, you know, that's a beautiful thing, but just that when you graduate, I know you're taking a lot of sciences and you got to take chemistry, you got to take math, you know, because you don't, you know, they don't even want you to, you got to keep a GPA up over B or more. It is a challenging major, and I'm honored that you are pursuing that, because they do have some nursing programs that can assist you in your classes when you decide to take them. You know, how to give shots, how to read certain symptoms, and how to deal with, unruly patients, and, you know, all, and then working with the staff. So, but you're in the right field, the medical field, as long as there's COVID. You'll be in almost six figures plus with regards to money, because so many people, nurses, you know, most people are retiring from being a nurse or quitting and changing their field because of the fear. But for you to get it, hopefully they'll be under control by the time you finish it. Because you get a BA in nursing, that's different from just being a nurse. Then you get your master's, you're talking about supervisor and stuff like that. So that's a bold major move that you are gonna go through, and I'm glad to hear that. And my last question is, what is the learning assistance that's up there to help students in their classes and in their subject matter? Is there a learning center where you can go and get tutored?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, they have a couple, but it's really for certain classes or subjects. Like, they don't have tutoring for every subject, but they do have tutors for like what a lot of students have difficulties with, like math and science and writing. So, yeah, they do have tutoring centers and stuff.
All right. And what do you need? Don't you have to get a foreign language to graduate from a UC campus?
Yeah, I did mine last year. I did Japanese.
Well, that's okay. You know, there's a lot of Japanese out here. All right. Thank you so much, Manai. Keep up the good work.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, Brother Thomas, any comments or questions?
Yes, I do. Congratulations, Sister Manai, on all your academic goals and aspiring to go to UC Davis. First question, kind of set it off. Why'd you choose UC Davis and didn't choose like a HBCU?
I wanted to stay in California, really. And I don't think there's any out here.
Correct. There's no
HBCU. For H.
That's true.
Yeah.
Also, I kind of heard you in your initial answering questions about you going to college and, you know, hoping to get a job so you could take care of yourself. And as an educator who got caught up into the hype of every Black parent telling their child to go to college to get a job, you know, I realized as an educator that that advice was against that mindset of going to college to get a job is contrary and adverse to to Black people doing for self, to Black people doing the thing that other people of other cultures do. You know, other cultures, those who have Chinatown, Italian town, Greek town, they go to college to open up a business or to qualify to open up a business. They have a different mindset. Instead of going to college specifically to get a job, they go into college kind of like make a job, make a business, or work a business long enough, you know, a job long enough to open up their own business because they know the science of success, the science of true, you know, independence and the science of business and wealth accumulation. You know, we as Black people, we go to college with the mindset of going to get a job. And we also go with the mindset that the person that we get the job from is a Caucasian that don't look anything like us. For example, you know, if you were to pursue political science, you know, and you decide to, you know, work for a politician or work in that arena, evidently you're working for the government. You know, you're working for maybe a politician who doesn't have the interests of Black people in their mind, but, you know, you're working for the system. Now you're going into nursing. And because Black people don't have their own hospitals or our own, you know, medical centers in our communities, evidently you're going to be working for a Caucasian hospital as well, Caucasian bosses, Caucasian administration. So how do you feel? Like what I'm saying is, and that even this is for Rasaki being your father, it's for have you been taught, educated, or have you been even thinking about like what can you do to change the non-productive paradigm that we've been doing in America in terms of going to college so we could get a job working for somebody who traditionally really doesn't want to pay us what we're worth? They'd rather have our labor for free, or they create an environment where we're a subjugate. We never go up to the highest point where we're able to go where our knowledge, skills, and experience take us. There's always a glass ceiling that prevents us as Black people from crossing. I mean, have you ever been educated, or are you taking this in consideration at all when it comes to your goals and aspirations? Is there any part of what you want to do that has to do with you doing for self? You know, you open up your own medical center, you servicing your own people on your own, you know, so where you're offering services and reaping benefits and maybe open up your own type of medical services or business or something for your people, whether it's a doula, you know, helping, you know, women get, you know, go the natural way of having childbirth, without having to go to the hospital, or something that says independent, something that says, you know, I'm not going to be spending the rest of my life working for a person and a system that has always had something against, that always has had, continues to have, and, you know, to brutalize, mistreat, underpay, underrepresent, last one hired, first one fired mentality. I mean, what do you think about anything that I'm saying as it relates to you being a future, the next generation, to either repeat the cycle of having to work for these people to where they have our lives in their hands. They can tell us to do anything out of the threat of us getting fired and we'll do it. They can threaten, they can tell us to do anything. They can threaten, you know, if you don't do this, you don't have, because we're relying upon them for our very livelihood. What, you know, as a next generation sister, you know, professional leader, mother, community leader, business person or whatnot, I mean, what is some of those ideas that mean to you as it pertains to being independent, self-sufficient, owning your own business to where you don't have to answer to a boss that can hire you, fire you, a job, because a job's not inherited. You can't pass a job to your children. Your children cannot, you know, my child cannot inherit my teaching position. But that's why I work to accumulate resources and assets that my child can benefit from. How does that affect you in terms, how do you feel about that in terms of what your goals and aspirations are, so that you won't be working for somebody else for the rest of your life, but maybe have something tangible that you could actually lead the next generation, you know, as it pertains to what your goals are professionally and scholastically?
Well, to be honest, I really, if I had it my way, I wouldn't work at all. Like, labor is not something that I dream about, but it's something that I have to do. So I kind of have that mindset. And being an entrepreneur, I think that's great for a person that is passionate about working and doing those things. But for me, that wouldn't be good, because that would become my whole life. Like, once you own a business, that's really your life. Like, it's always on your mind. You always, that's just not something I want to do. And I do care about my community. I do want us to do better. But I feel like owning a business, that wouldn't be a way that I could contribute to that. Like, I do, when I become a nurse, I do want to work somewhere in the community and make sure my people are giving the getting the best care that I could give them, that I could help with. But yeah, that's all I think I pretty much can do when it comes to working and things like that.
Okay, so you wanted me to talk about this a little bit too, right?
Yes, I did.
Well, see, what I can say about it is, I've been teaching for 26 years, okay, yes, and sir. I've been exposed to Black studies education through Cal State Long Beach, like yourself. And then I have a mentor professor here, Professor Ra, which implanted me with information that I wouldn't get otherwise if I didn't have Black studies, you know. So now what I'm doing here with you guys is establishing a network that will lead us in the directions that you're talking about, of independence. You know, the way I see it, we're living in a colored context, which is systematic. You know, it's a system that's driving all the inequities, the negative negativity, the mistreatment, all of that. So I'm a part of a change agent to go in the direction of independence, like the Nation of Islam suggests. I agree with that, you know, but we have a battle on our hands, and I realize that. So this is why I'm doing what I'm doing with you guys. I've raised them with my wife. You know, my wife is pretty liberal, you know. And so we're not in sync when it comes to Black independence, but she understands. And Manai is really a sharp individual, very intelligent. So I think she's picking up the information. And I'm glad she agreed to do the show, because she's been exposed to people like yourself, Brother Thomas. And you know, and it makes her think. So I think that she'll make a great contribution to society and Black folks, since we live in a color context. So, okay, I'm gonna leave that there. I'm gonna go to Brother Mashinda.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you. Brother Mashinda, question, comment?
Yeah, good evening. Manai, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I just want to commend you on your effort. You know, I remember when you started college, and, you know, I remember when you used to be in high school. You might not know it, but, you know, talking to your dad, you know, over the years, you know, him picking you up, dropping you off, all that through high school, you know. So I'd like to commend, you know, you, Rasa Key, for, you know, and your wife for a job well done, you know, and, you know, knowing what went into, you know, and I know it's still a work in progress, but, you know, what has gone into it, you know, as far as the time and the effort, the work, the hard work, you know, the dedication, you know, you know, the formula that create what, you know, part of the formula that creates success, you know. And so I'm watching it play out, you know, and it's a great thing. Manai, you know, hey, I work in education now, you know, just and working at a college, at a community college, and we have a licensed practical nurse, which is like a LVN, you know, it's very similar. It's the same thing, where they just call it LPN here. And well, I'm in here in Louisiana, but anyway, it's a wide open area that needs a lot of good people, you know. You know, as far as your education, you know, going, yeah, a lot of times when, you know, you try to get into these programs, they're impacted, meaning that, you know, there's a waiting list a lot of times to get into these, the RN programs at the university level all over the country. But what I'm hearing is you have good grades, you know, you've been applying yourself and you've been preparing, been doing your research. I would say, hey, you know, you know, with your foundation that you received when you're in high school and parlay that into college, you know, you won't be stopped, you know, once you get your turn, you know, so when you apply, like you say, like, doc, you know, you have to do your research. Dr. Rye was pointing it out, you know, it is a very challenging, but at the same time will be very rewarding for you if that's what you want to do. You know, and you get, you know, I think you got to be a special person to want to go into that field. You know, money is great, you know, but I always, you know, I'm a firm believer that always enjoy what you're doing. You know, I mean, this, everybody want to get paid, but I think that you should, you know, make, you know, if that's what you want to do, you know, hey, go for it. But I'm just saying, moving on, though, you have the foundation, you know, my wife, she went that route, university route, nursing, and went all the way nurse practitioner, got her doctorate, nurse practitioner. Hey, she grew up across the tracks, just like me. You know, we, you know, she's no different than any of us, you know. And but I was there when I met her. She was already an RN. And, you know, she said, well, I think I'm going to go back to school, and went back and got her master's. And then, you know, and then went and got her nurse practitioner degree, and then got her doctorate in nurse practitioner. So I said all that to say, I mean, they're still nurses, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, they call her doctor and all that, but I mean, you know, there's a difference. But at the same time, as far as educational route goes, but you know, she's seeing patients just like the doctors see patients, you know, and she's very well respected. And now as it comes to our community, oh, wow. I mean, she helps the community. I mean, the Black people flock to her. They want to see her. They want to, you know, and so she practices in different clinics. She doesn't own the clinics, Brother Thomas, you know, and her reason is because she can open up her own practice. They have a what they call a collaborative agreement with a doctor. And, you know, I think the state of California might have got rid of it here in Louisiana. It's been before the legislature and it hadn't passed yet. Mississippi's right next door, meaning that you can practice without a doctor, you know, being on your payroll, so to speak, you know. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of opportunity out there for you, Manai, in that field to where you can work independently. My wife works independently, although she goes to a clinic. She sees patients, you know, as far as any bosses, ain't nobody bossing nobody around. They got administrators, but, you know, there's always somebody in charge. And, you know, you got a president in charge of the country, you know, so it's not, you're not going to escape, you know, the hierarchy. But, you know, one of her reasons why she can go open up her own practice if she wants to. But, you know, that malpractice insurance is very high. And she does very well income wise. And, you know, we're not going to get rich off any of these jobs. But it's what you make. But it's not always what you make, it's what you invested, how you use your money wisely, save your money and those type of things. So I hope that you're also educating yourself on the economic side, about budgeting, about investing. You know, it's never too early to start a 401k or IRA and that type of thing, you know. So I can go on and on, but I just want to commend you thank you for being so candid, you know, your answers, well thought out answers, you know, and the sky's the limit. So thank you for coming on tonight, Manai.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Brother Hembrick popped in, but I'm going to get to Brother Hembrick after the next five questions. So I'm going to go to number six. This is from a cousin of yours, Cousin Chris. He said, what have you learned about yourself in the last 3 years? And if you didn't attend college, what would you have done?
Well, one thing I learned is that I enjoy being alone a lot, and I need to be alone sometimes to recharge and just reflect on life. I also learned that I don't like cooking, and cooking for myself every day is difficult. The second part of it was
it says what you have done if you didn't go to college? What would you have done?
I think I would have been a paramedic or a firefighter. I would have done that.
Okay. Let me inform everybody about Manai's athletic ability. She was one of the best breaststroke swimmers in the county when she was about 13 years old. And if she would have stayed at it, I think she probably would have at least went to Junior Olympics. A very excellent athlete. And she's been a lifeguard, you know, for about 2 years in a row before the pandemic. And she was a swim coach. And so, yeah, she's not only mentally gifted, but she's a great athlete, too. Okay, next question. This is from Sister J-Dub. She said, what does self-care look like for you?
Being alone in my bed or somewhere else comfortable with good food and a TV show or music or a book.
Okay. All right. This is from a teammate of mine from Washington State. He said, what is your thoughts about CTR, critical race theory, or CRT? Critical race theory.
Well, I don't know much about it itself. I just know that was a lot of upheaval with white people about it. But from what I do know, I think it should be taught in schools. I definitely think it should be taught.
I agree. The truth should be taught and it deals with the truth. So I agree with you. Okay, this is from a colleague of mine that teach with me. He said, how did your father being a math teacher help you in dealing with college coursework?
I've actually had only one math class so far, and that was statistics. And my dad doesn't really do that. He does algebra and trig. So it hasn't really helped me in college. It helped me a lot in high school, though.
Okay. This is from one of our recent guests, Ernest. He says, what are your thoughts about sororities? How do you feel about sororities?
I think they're good for people who need a community. Well, everybody needs a community, but people who like seek that. And I think they're good for making connections and that kind of stuff. I'm not really interested in that, but I do think they're something positive about college, especially the black sororities, like the Deltas and the AKAs.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to Brother Hembrick. Brother Hembrick, question or comment?
Sorry, tuned in late. Actually, my daughter's here visiting now. Just got here last night, so we've been hanging out at the garden and came in here and dozed off and woke up and I looked and my computer was dead, so I had to plug it up. But anyway, I hear, you know, although I didn't, you know, hear a presentation a lot, but I do hear similar, you know, stuff, you know, but, you know, that you're experiencing, you know, with your daughter that I'm experiencing with mine. They both appear to be in the medical field. Which is you know, great. There will always be work for sure, especially in these days and times. I like what you said about the sorority thing. So they come to the realization that it's African. I'm not with it. My daughter's not with it either, although she participated in this debutante thing from her mother, kept bugging her about it with the AKA. I live next door to a big time Delta. So some of my friends and Q Dogs and all of that. It was good. I just wish they would change their identification from Greek to African, who the Greeks stole it from in the first place. Let me just say this, sister. I heard you say you didn't like to cook, but when you cook, you just got to cook a lot that'll last for a few days. You know, every day. You know, I remember my mom used to cook stuff and then give me stuff to freeze, put it in containers, and I would freeze it, so I always have something to eat, you know. But, I would say that try to learn a little something now. You can't go through life. You know, men like to eat. Unless you get one that, you know, that's it. He can cook, you know, because Rose. I know I can cook, so, you know, I can do it, and I do it from time to time. Anyway, I want to wish you, you know, great success in your endeavor in the field of medicine. It's always noble when you're in service, and that's serving people, serving the public. I was talking to my daughter today about, I was reading an article about the role of cannabis is going to play in the medical field. I already know some positive things that they have with it, like dealing with, you know, cancer surgery and asthma and glaucoma and these sort of things. And my daughter is studying osteopathic medicine. That's what she's going to be a doctor in, sort of like holistic medicine. And that goes hand in hand. So I would suggest to her that, you know, she look into that. Although they do deal with some herbs and stuff. But anyway, great, great profession. You can go anywhere in the world and work. That's what I like about it. You know, you're not stuck to a certain region. Medicine is everywhere. And like I said, you know, much success to you. Work hard. Keep your, you know, keep your nose to the grind and get it done. And kids have a great life on the profession that you chose.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, that was, I want to reiterate what Brother Emmerich said. He said, cook you know, large amounts, like you could do a pot of chili. Pot of chili will last you all week. You could, you know, chili and rice, chili Fritos, chili burritos. So yeah, that was a good suggestion. So you need to take that under advisement, I would say. Okay, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go ahead and do these last five questions, then I'll go around the panel one more time, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, this is from our next door neighbor, Brother James. He said, are you familiar with the Pan-African Studies Department, and is there a gospel choir on your campus?
I am familiar with the Pan-African Studies Department. I took an African-American Studies class, and I really enjoyed it. It was probably one of the most interesting classes I've taken at that school. The gospel choir, I really don't know. I'm not religious, so I don't really look into that.
Oh, so if you're not religious, what are you?
Spiritual.
Okay, spoken like a true daughter of mine. Okay, here we go. This is from a teammate, another teammate of mine, but this teammate is from Long Beach State. He said, when it comes to world leaders, who do you trust and why?
Well, from the world leaders I'm familiar with, like if you're talking about presidents or those people, I wouldn't say that I trust any of them. I think a lot of things happen
that people don't know about, and I wouldn't really put my trust in any of them.
Okay, I know you've been hanging around somebody like me that says things like that. Okay. This is from another Long Beach State graduate, Miss Kelly. She said, what is the one thing you was looking forward to when you considered furthering your education, and have you been able to see or experience that one thing you was looking forward to when you started school?
I was looking forward to the most learning about things that I actually wanted to learn about, rather than in high school and middle school where you're kind of forced to learn things because of standards and all that. But yeah, it's just learning what I actually wanted to learn about, like African American studies and just different things. And yes, I have been able to do that. And I also was looking forward to studying abroad. And I just applied, so hopefully I'm able to do that next year.
And do you want to share what that, where you, you know, what you're going to do with that?
Yes, I want to go to South Korea.
Okay. All right, that should be interesting. And I know your mother says you want to take a trip when you do go. So we'll see what happens, and hopefully that is realized. Okay. This is from one of your sister Janae. She said, how do you want to stand out within your profession of choice?
How do I want to stand out? Well, I just want to be good at it, very good at it. I want the patients to feel comfortable around me, welcomed. Yeah, I just want to make people feel more comfortable, especially when they're sick, especially the elderly. I want to kind of be there for them, because I know a lot of them in homes and stuff aren't being treated that well by some nurses, and they might not have family that visit them and stuff. So I just want to be comfort for people like that.
Okay, that's noble. Okay, last question. This is from Sandra Rogers. She said, what does college look like for you in the pandemic? And I think you kind of answered that, but go ahead and repeat it. What does it look like for you in the pandemic?
When we were online going through Zoom, if the professors weren't like teaching, because some actually held a Zoom class like what we're doing here, and it was kind of like being in person, but it was really the recorded lectures and assignments that were the hardest for me. So it was hard to motivate myself sometimes, but eventually I got used to it. I got through it. And now it's still, the pandemic is still going on. But we do have in-person classes, and we just have to wear masks. So that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. We're going to go around the panel one more time, and we will conclude. So we're going to go back to Professor Ra. Professor Ra was resting there.
I never rest. I was thinking. I was listening to everything. Yeah, I was listening to Brother Horn with his courageous questions, and I was listening to her excellent responses. I want to say this, that when I very few students know what they want to do. Why they going to school, and sometime after they finish. Some of them, they look at how many units they took, and then they choose that as their major. You know, they didn't even mean to major in that. For you to be focused on your goals and aspirations as a young lady, that's commendable. And then second, you know, they announced on the news today, or may have been yesterday, that all UC campuses are supposed to go back to remote learning because of this new variant. And they canceled a lot of games, a lot of sporting events. So I think you might be going back to that. The other thing is that, you know, the key to your success is to love what you do and then really become the best of the best nurse you could be. And as Machinda said, you know, be a nurse, go on and be a nurse practitioner or specialize a nurse in surgery, a nurse in geriatrics, a nurse in physical therapy, a nurse in, you know, there are different fields of concentration. When it comes down to nurses, there's nurses that deal with surgery, you know, and then at the same time, physician assistant. And maybe you may even change once you become a nurse. Well, might as well go on and be a doctor, MD, or specialize in a special thing. But you're in the right field. It's an open field, as Brother Hembrick was saying, you know, and that's a beautiful thing. And I just want to commend you. Because most students, most students, period, run from difficulty in challenging majors and challenging vocations. And what I see you doing is running to it. And that's a commendable thing. So I just want to, encourage you to continue to do what you're doing. Stay focused. Don't get sidetracked. And always keep your character intact and keep your standards for who you associate with intact. And don't let, as Brother Thomas was saying, don't let the world change you. You change the world. And I just wanted to make that comment. All right. That's it. That's your guy.
Thank you, Professor Ra. Okay, Brother Thomas, back to you. You got to unmute, Brother Thomas. Unmute.
I'm so proud of your daughter as a young adult and future leader, professional, medical professional, mother, queen to a king. You know, you're 20 years old, and like Baba Ra was saying, you are leaps and bounds ahead of a lot of the young brothers and sisters your age in terms of what you want to do. And the fact that you're, it's very impressive that you're pursuing political science and you're changing into nursing, but you're still willing to pursue, you know, finish what you started. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you're willing to take the necessary classes to fulfill your major, political science, while at the same time doubling up and taking classes that satisfy your passion. You know, I'm like the real hardcore, doofus self-minded brother of your father's colleagues. And you've really impressed me a lot. I have a daughter that's graduating right now. She goes to my high school, and I've been working diligently to try to get her as focused as you. And it seems like what I'm getting is from just hearing how you reflect your father's fundamentals, like something about your father stuck in the midst of him raising you is teaching me to just sit back and let what I've taught my daughter sink in and allow her to use it when she deems, you know, when she grows into seeing value in it, and stop trying to force her to to think and learn and do the things that I wanted to do at the rate and time that I wanted to do it. You give me confidence, sister. You give me confidence as a father. And I thank you for your candor. I thank you for your strength to be able to express yourself and address these questions to some adults. You've really impressed me. And there's nothing but love and blessings for you. And my prayers go out to you and your future endeavors so that you could be prosperous in life, healthy, positive spirits, and successful in all that you hope to do. Thank you, sister.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right, Brother Mashinda.
Yeah, again, thank you, Manai, for sharing tonight. If you have any questions, you know, related to the medical field, nursing, you know, my wife would be happy to talk with you. She tells a lot of the young ladies in the community, you know, that's interested in nursing, you know, because part of her goal is she's trying to interest young people in the field, you know. So again, she's a great resource. Get that NCLEX book for RNs. It's a state board preparation, NCLEX, NCLEX. Get the one for RN, and you can start looking at it now, you know, just to see some of the questions. You can research and break those questions down yourself and, you know, be ahead of the game. You have to wait till it's time to take the test. Or, you know, you can start just kind of browsing through it now. Of course, they update it from time to time. You know, they have a 2023 version coming out, I think. So it depends on when you start school and or when you test. You know, they're always going to come up with a newer edition. They just add things to it, new things to it, update it. But anyway, good luck. And again, we're here for you, and take care of yourself.
Thank you. I'll definitely look into that book.
Okay. Before I get to Brother Hemrick, I just want to say I appreciate all of you brothers on here that's complimenting my daughter and encouraging her and the praise and all of that. That's really heartfelt, and I appreciate you guys for doing that. Okay, Brother Hembrick.
I had a question. I don't know what high school she went to and what college she's at now. I missed that part. So.
Okay, go ahead, Manai. What high school did you go to?
I went to two high schools. My first 3 years, I went to King Drew. And my last year, I went to Teach Tech Charter. And now I go to UC Davis.
Sister, I'm just here with you some things that I share with my daughter since she started school, and I taught this, you know, in my classroom. You know, us as people, we can do anything we want to do. But I was teaching a thing called No LBS, and I would put that on the board the first day of school, and the LB. Well, the L is laziness, and the BS, you can figure that part out for yourself. But if we eliminate that from our lives, there's nothing that we cannot do. I used to make them, you know, do a chart and chart the things that you do during the course of the day. Do they come under L, or does it come under BS, which is totally unacceptable? And the other side is business, which it sounds like that's what you're taking care of. I also like to commend you on the athleticism, you know, being in a unusual sport for our people. And my daughter did the same thing. She was a rower at LMU, you know, rowing in the boat.
Oh, yeah.
She was the only sister out there. So she did that for 3 years. She just went out and tried out and made the team. Anyway, stay focused. And let me tell you this, I heard you talk about your downtime when you're relaxing, and you can do this when you're studying. And I don't know if your dad has told you this before, but I send stuff to my daughter all the time, which is jazz. Jazz is something you can listen to and still study. You're not listening to words and whatnot. You're just kind of getting into the music, and it's helpful at times, I think myself. And another quick thing is, when you're out socially, I didn't hear about your social thing, but I would say never be alone. Always be with a group of friends. And I would say don't let guy, you know, I don't know if you have a car or not. My daughter wouldn't, I tried to buy a car, but she wouldn't accept one until after her second year. And she said she didn't want to be having to, you know, people ask for rides interrupting her study time and all that sort of stuff. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with is this: your professors, they have office hours. Be in their face all the time. Have them so they tired of seeing you come. And in this way, you can stay ahead of the game, and they will show you the path that you're trying to get to because you're in their face all the time. So that's another thing I suggest. And the last thing is the library. The library is about business. Stay in there, stay away from them TVs and telephones, and handle your business. And that's the advice I gave my own daughter. Matter of fact, when she was a kid growing up, she couldn't even watch TV Monday through Thursday. Anything she wanted to see, we recorded it, and she saw it Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But sit in front of that box, and it kind of stifles your creativity, so to speak, because it's a passive activity instead of doing something else. Kept her in music and all that old kind of stuff. But anyway, much love and success in your endeavor. Seem like you're on the right path. And maybe you guys will cross paths because you're both in the same, you know, profession, medicine, which is a great field to be in. Like I said, you know, jobs travel. You can go anywhere and work, just like teaching, like what, you know, what me and your dad do. We can go other places and get jobs. Don't have to be stuck to one thing. So anyway, a lot of success to you. And like I said, good luck and handle your business and come on out and go to the next level, whatever your profession is that you chose. I heard your political science also. Well, you know, you might get into some union thing with nursing, you know, with you know, which requires law and whatnot. But anyway, best of luck to you, and thanks for me being able to make these comments.
Thank you. I appreciate your tips.
You're welcome.
Okay, everybody. I appreciate everybody that was here to comment, advise, and support. It's, like I said, it's very heartfelt, and I want to commend you also, Manai, for coming on here and sharing your college experience with us. Okay, so now for next week, we got one of my college teammates from Long Beach State, DeAnthony Langston. He's the founder of The Real Run. It's a summer league that's very popular in the South Bay area, in Los Angeles. And then his topic is going to be the evolution of basketball in Southern California. So that'll be interesting. He went to high school at Verbon Day High School, and he was telling me some history about Verbon Day. So it should be very interesting. He's a highly charismatic guy. So that should be enjoyable. So, Professor Rye. Professor Ra? Okay, I guess Professor Ra.
Yeah.
So for Monday, so what we got for Monday?
I'll call you and I'll talk to Brother Joe and see what we come up with.
Okay. All right, everybody. It's been a good evening. So a nice kickoff for our second year. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.
All right.